Okay, guys, open your Bibles to Genesis 24. Genesis 24, Dwayne's going to read our main verse, Genesis 24, 27. Buddy, Genesis 24, 3. Nathan, Genesis 24, 5. Caleb, Genesis 24, 12. Robert, Genesis 24, 14. Brian, Genesis 24, 21. Jordan, Genesis 24, 56. And Pete, Genesis 24, 27. Okay, the Bible tells of Abraham in a story of the battle in rescuing Lot, that he had trained servants in his house. And so one of these is found in Genesis 24. We're not going to take the time to read the whole. It's a very lengthy chapter, but his servant, most of them feel his name is Eleazar, that Eleazar is given a task, and the task is very difficult, to go and find a wife for Isaac. And so, but in this, if you think about it, if he's a trained servant given a task which he carries out successfully, he's actually a picture of a model disciple. And so I'm going to minister about a model disciple. Genesis 24, 27.
And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren."
Okay, a model disciple. So let's look. There's three things that are involved in being a model disciple, as we see in this story. In this chapter, we'll refer to the whole story. The first one is simply, a model disciple is somebody who can follow instructions. Following instructions. So, when we say the word disciple, disciple simply means learner. Someone who is learning, and so we're talking about learning to be a man of God, learning to be used by God. And so in this, Eleazar receives clear instructions from Abraham. Verse 3, 24:3.
"And I will make you swear by the Lord and the God of heaven and the God of the earth that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughter of the Canaanites among whom I dwell."
Okay, so in this case, the instruction is, I want you to find a wife and don't marry, or make sure that my son does not marry a Canaanite girl. That is absolutely not. These were a cursed people. That's a whole lesson in itself. Who are you going to marry? So, but the point is that the one who is teaching him has given him instructions. Now, sometimes when you get instructions, you might not understand the complete picture of why this is. And so sometimes you can clarify that, which we'll talk about in a minute. Sometimes you won't. But the point is, instructions are given, and you can't be a disciple unless you can simply follow instructions. When you receive instructions in discipleship, you are getting instruction from someone that has greater experience. They probably have experienced more. They probably have greater wisdom, hopefully, and they might have a greater depth of relationship with God. This is not a value issue, and the problem is insecure people view this as in terms of worth and value. If someone tells me what to do, you know, what are you, am I stupid? You know, am I a kid? These are the kind of things. Just this week, I had to speak to somebody who's been in ministry for 28 years, and what they said to me was, because they had received instructions, and he resented that. Is in 28 years, I've never been. So, following instructions is basic. So, Abraham had seen things that Eleazar had not. He heard things that Eleazar had not. This is not a worth issue. It's just simply in a different experience and relationship with God. So he gives an instruction, don't take a wife from the Canaanites. Instructions are given, the instructions are often what gives you the best chance of success and the largest chance of avoiding trouble, or the least chance of trouble, however you want to look at that. So, he says, marrying a Canaanite, that's going to be trouble. Don't do that. Success is going to be marrying the right family. That's a marriage lesson right there. So, following instructions. So, in this, we see as a model disciple, an important part of following instructions is clarification. Clarification. So, Eleazar is given an instruction, and he's thinking this through, and so he doesn't understand something. So, verse 5, he asks a question.
And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?
Okay, so it's like, let me get this clear. What happens if she won't come, so do you want me to move your son there? So this is actually very good. He's clarifying. There's something about your instructions that I don't understand. Help me to understand further. This is a problem. Proud men don't ask questions. Proud men, part of following instructions is you have to listen. You have to listen. You have to tune in. You can't be like, yeah, what, okay, uh-huh. You gotta tune in. So he says, but, okay, make sure I understand this. And he asks a question. Proud men won't do that. They won't ask questions because what they think is, if I ask a question, he'll think I'm stupid. And again, insecurity robs men of wisdom because they look at this, everything is worth. If I ask him a question, he's going to go, what kind of idiot doesn't understand what I said? And that's not the case. His clarification is not a problem. So, the point in instructions is usually the instructions that you're given are not life and death. Right? Most concert directors that I have over time is usually they'll do something that is that was not correct, or they failed to do something, and I have a little talk, and it goes like this. Look, this was about, you know, chairs, printing, microphone. This is not life and death. The world didn't stop spinning, but someday you are going to be in a position where I may give instructions, and it literally will be people's salvation. So if you can't follow instructions in small things, right? That's why you don't give somebody untrained, you know, here, can you disarm the nuclear bomb? You know, you want them to start with small things. So now, this really is an important deal. This is actually the future of the Jewish race, the purposes of God. This really is a big deal. This probably was not the first instruction that Eleazar got. But a model disciple is someone, number one, who can follow instructions. Number two, a model disciple is somebody who has a personal relationship with God. This is indispensable. It's theoretically possible that you could follow instructions correctly and yet not be in touch with God yourself. Right? Some people follow instructions because they want somebody to think well of them. They don't want to be embarrassed. So, yep, okay, I can do that. Yep. But at the end of the day, if you're going to do something for God, this is not putting pegs in the right hole. This is a matter of hearing from God and getting God's involvement. So, that means you have to be able to speak to God yourself. Verse 12, 24:12.
Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham.
Okay, so the reason why I'm choosing this scripture is he talks to God, and what I want to point out is he's talking to God, and Abraham is like his pastor. His pastor's not there. I believe in corporate prayer. I think it's good. You should if you're in any way, your work schedule allows, you should come to prayer in the mornings at whatever time, even if it's, you know, before I'm here. I believe if you're a disciple, you should be coming to prayer before church. If you're not picking up converts or, you know, unless your work is getting off late. I believe in that. And yet, that's not enough. If all you do is pray when other people are seeing you, your relationship with God extends to public, you're in trouble. Because you're going to be in situations where you have to find God by yourself. I have men that call me. I got this problem. I say, you better find God. I can give you advice and wisdom, but I can't touch God for you. That is the crucial thing. Words of wisdom Pastor Mitchell's given 1,000 guys is, you better find out where God lives. So Eleazar is here. He's by himself. He cries out to God for himself. The other part of relationship with God is trust. Verse 14, 24:14.
And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby I shall know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master.
Okay, so here is part of his prayer, and in part of his prayer, he is actually taking a risk. I personally cannot, you've heard me joke about this, I cannot understand people who want to matchmake. I do not want anybody to be married and hating me if things go wrong. Thanks. I would hate this job. It doesn't interest me at all. So, but he's taking a risk. So here it is. Think about this. Here, go to this foreign country. Imagine somebody telling me, look, go to Mexico and find a wife. So imagine this. He's in a foreign country. He prays, I need God. I got to get the right one. And he says, but God, I'm trusting that you're going to help me to meet. So this is trust. He's taking a risk. So what he says is, I'm not just going to sit under a tree, oh God, until God speaks. He says, I'm going to try. I am going to approach a girl and I'm going to believe that you're going to help me. That's a very important part of relationship with God. In relationship with God, there must be trust in you. If you want to arrange life to where there's no chance that you could ever fail, and there's no chance that you can ever be embarrassed, you can't be a man of God. So this means that in your life, there has to be risk. And that's part of relationship with God. This is part of your development in becoming a man of God. It has to do with giving. I'm confident that conference comes in July. I'm confident that some of you here, God is going to speak to you about giving, and your reaction is going to be, get thee behind me, Satan. What? Wow, that would be like crazy. But God may speak that. It has to do with praying for the sick. That's part of praying for the sick. Praying for the sick can be dangerous on your ego, because there's a chance they might not get healed. So what? You got to try. I do know 100% of the people will never get healed if you don't pray for them. I do know that. So you got to try. Has to do with outreaches. You have to try it out. I got an idea. I got an area. We can do this. Will it work? I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. I've had outreaches that really, really sucked before. That's life. But if you're not trying, you can't be a man of God. So, relationship with God for yourself and trust. That's an important part. Third thing that is needed if you're going to be a man of God is common sense. Common sense. Common sense defined is having good sense and sound judgment in practical matters. I'll say that again. In other words, the common sense is not, what is the sound of one hand clapping? It is not, what does the word Elohim mean? Is the Trinity found in that word? No. It is good sense and sound judgment in practical matters. This is a problem because I can teach men to preach. I can teach you how to organize an outreach. I can teach. There's a lot of things I can teach you. Common sense is not something I can teach. This is something that you have to, it's not a matter so much of you either have it or you don't, but it's distressing to me that I see some men, they do things, and the question I ask is like, why? Why did you do that? How did you even think that that was going to make sense? Okay, look at Eleazar's common sense. Number one, he goes to the well. This is very practical. Your job is go to a foreign country and in ancient times and find a wife. Where do you find a wife? Yeah, I was out at the corral with the cowboys. That's not where the girls are. It was the job of women, and often the single or younger women, it was their job to draw water. This is brilliant. Where am I going to find a wife? Probably where the most single women are. That is common sense. That's practical common sense. Second thing is he understands what is important. This is a very important part of common sense. I like this. In his prayer, he doesn't pray, "Oh God, help me find a babe with a hot bod." No, look at his prayer, verse 14, 24:14.
Let me read it again.
Sure, go ahead.
"And let it come to pass with the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that has thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master."
Okay, so here he's read it in the King James, so you might miss this. But this is very practical. Okay, I have to bring back a wife, and so a foreigner shows up. You're not from around here. I'm going to go up to a girl that I have never seen, and here it is in the day. She, you mentioned this. This is letting down a bucket in a well with a rope, either by hand or by a pulley in some way, and pulling water out of the well. So I'm going to interrupt her, and I'm going to say, "Hey, could I have some of your water?" A stranger shows up. Imagine this. You've got your big gulp from 7-Eleven, and a stranger says, "Hey, can I have a drink?" So, this is very practical. In other words, who would do that? A nice girl. That's very practical. And again, this is a marriage lesson. I see guys like, "Man, this woman's a babe." Yeah, but she's mean as a snake. You're going to live with this snake, buddy. She's going to bite you. Your life is going to be miserable. Long after, she doesn't look like that. She's going to act like that. So this is very practical. I want a nice girl. That's very... Number two, I want a worker. I thank God that my wife is a worker. She has no problem with cleaning. I can't get my head around, you know, guys that tell you, "Oh, my wife, she never cleans." Wow. That's okay. That's tough. Can't cook, never cook. Thank God. So he says, "I want a work." This is hard work. So I want a nice girl who doesn't mind working. So in other words, he says, what is important is character. Character. Again, this is a practical common sense in building a church. I'm astounded at some of the choices that I hear guys make. It's like, how did you not think that was going to cause you a problem? Is it, you know, "I let this guy in, he was a religious guy, he used to be a pastor, he split the last 17 churches he was in, so I came in and I made him head usher, and he split my church." I don't even get that. What did you think was going to happen? That's practical common sense. Okay. Third thing is, he's patient. Verse 21, 24, 21.
And the man wondering at her remained silent so as to know whether the Lord has made his journey prosperous or not.
Okay, verse 21, he remained silent. He held his peace. This is a simple part of practical common sense, is he waited for the right time and he was waiting for the right information. He didn't just blab his mouth off the first time seeing a girl in the street, "Hey, you want to get married?" He waited. This is patience. There are guys, sometimes they move too fast, and that's a practical part. Final thing is, he doesn't get sidetracked. This is very practical. When he finally goes, you read the whole story for yourself, is they want him to delay. You know, he says it, yep, she agrees, yeah, I want to get married. And then they say, look, you know, why don't you have her stay around at least 10 days? And so he will not get sidetracked. Verse 56, 24:56.
And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away tonight, and I may go to my master."
Okay, so he says, no. No, if I have something to do, a man of God does not get sidetracked. That's practical. Right? And this can be extremely practical. Guys, I see guys who are working jobs, trying to balance a family, following up, outreaching, doing that. They have very limited time, and then they want to make their own flyers. They want to spend 27 hours making a flyer, when you could pay somebody $20. Why do you want to do that? Doesn't make sense. Let's get practical. That's very practical. I'm not getting sidetracked. So that's a practical issue. And then, of course, if God tells you to do something, don't delay, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, wind up with this. The result of being a model disciple is supernatural blessing. We see in the scripture, God helped Eleazar. Number one, he gives guidance. Verse 27, second time.
And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God, Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brother."
Okay, so here it is. You go to a foreign country. Don't marry it can't be a Canaanite. Imagine people move around. You could even, in a foreign country, meet a Canaanite. You go there and meets a girl using common sense. And what family are you from? It's the exact right people that he needed there. God guided him. That's a powerful part. I have experienced the guidance of God all over the world. As I've seen God, it's like, man, God led me to the right convert. God led me to the right contact. God led me to the right builder. I've had God supernaturally help me in guidance. But all of this comes if you can follow instructions, have a personal relationship with God and trust God and use common sense. That is the heart that God is then able to guide. Guys who lack all this, like, why doesn't God help me? Maybe some of the things we just talked about. Second thing is favor. This is the thing you need. If you're going to minister for God, you need favor. Think about this. Hi, you've never met me. You don't even know anything. There's this guy. He's looking for a wife. Think about this. I want you to move. You're never going to see your family again. Ready to go? Think about that. There was no phones. There's no email. There's no Skype. There's no video chats. You are never going to see your family again. She's like, okay. That's incredible. Favor. There has to be. You see this. There are men that they have the favor of God on them. They get favor with people in conversion, favor with people in buildings, favor in finances. People listen to them and want to go along with their plan. And then the third thing, I actually didn't even have it on the paper here, but ultimately, the result of the supernatural blessing of God is the purposes of God. Here it is. is this woman becomes a part of God's purposes in the earth. Is she still a part? She's been dead thousands of years, and yet she's still a part of what God is doing. Eleazar is a part of what God's doing, long gone. Because it's bigger than following instructions. It's bigger than finding a wife. It's what God is doing. He helps people who can be model disciples. Okay, let's open for questions. Andy.
When it comes to taking directions from your pastor, is there impartation that's happening when you allow yourself to take directions from your pastor?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. It can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's say potentially.
Yeah.
So it's not automatic because pride keeps it resistant. Guys, I give them restrictions, but they're like the little boy saying, I'm standing up on the outside, but I'm, you know.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, so impartation in large part is by asking questions. We've even done whole lessons on that.
Yeah.
That's why we have you make breakfast every day is for... I don't even eat it, but it's for the potential that guys could ask questions. And then something is imparted. If your brain is engaged in the common sense and following instructions part of that is thinking. Thinking. I challenge all of you that, you know, why do we do what we do? It's your job to find out. To think it through and understand things. And so when you ask questions, that's your greatest chance of impartation happening. Yep.
Also, you may have kind of answered it there, but for me, there's a lot of directions you have given me, and I've caught myself, and I don't want to do things because you tell me. I want it to be a part of who I am. For example, just being detailed with certain things. I've asked myself, am I doing this because it's my job, I have to do it, or is it something, am I going to do this? And how do you make that become from a direction, this is how I want things, from it to be, this is how I want to, that's how I want to live my life, that's how I want my church to look like, rather than just doing it because this is how you do it.
Yeah, so the issue, first of all, is I'm willing to do something regardless of my understanding. That's baby steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
You should, as you say, it's your job. But then understanding why, and again, that comes back to asking questions, which is clarification, right? Understanding why. If I get how this fits in the big picture, that helps me. The greater my understanding, it's like, so then I have a greater chance of it becoming a part of my conviction as well. Right? So thinking through. Thinking is a skill, and it takes work. Why? What would happen if you don't? What will happen if you do? How has this worked out in experience? Right? And so a lot of instructions I may give, they may come from personal painful experience. I can tell you how this will work out. I can show you the scars of where it works out if you don't do this. So, yep. Somebody else. Thinking. Yep.
When is it time, do you think, to... For me, it's hard to discern when to try to act on my own and use what you've imparted to me. Versus asking you, is it, when is it time to ask a question, I guess is my, sometimes I struggle with if it's too small of an issue or if it's not big enough even for your schedule.
But the whole point is the way we structure our church is to encourage questions. I don't ever, the only questions that I don't like is if a guy's being smart. He's like trying to be tricky. You know, try to get, what if, you know, Adam had two belly buttons, then what, you know. You could ask that. But apart from that, if a question is important to a man, it's important to me. And that's the whole point, because I understand that's the greatest chance of a man growing. That's why. I have lots of work to do. I don't have to come to breakfast in the morning. but it's, you know, we're potentially making ourselves available. And I have, sometimes I have big things on, so I don't ever disdain a man for asking a question. You'll never see that I mock a guy or, what a stupid question is that? It's important to the man, it's important to me. And when guys begin, I remember when Justin Manzanares, he decided he wanted to be a disciple, he always wanted to come. And sometimes I would have I would come to church and I'm like, I have things that are, these are a big deal. My brain is, I got all this. He's like, Pastor, what does this word mean in there? But it's like, I want him to grow, so I never did. Justin, listen, I got stuff on my brain. I never did that. Sure, okay, let's look at this. Let's think about this. Or, you know, whatever questions. So, to me, questions are not too small. If it's a valid question, you want to know it, I don't mind answering it.
Okay. If a man lacks common sense, what can he do to gain it?
What does the Bible say about that?
Ask God.
If a man lacks wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. So, the greatest act of wisdom is knowing that you don't have it. Right? So, it is not, you don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed. The point is we don't have to have rocket scientists to be men of God. But part of wisdom is knowing that you lack certain things. And so one of those is wisdom. God, I make foolish decisions or things that don't make sense. I need to know the difference. Open my eyes. Let me see what is important, what's not. Yeah. And the Bible says he's more than willing to do that because he is good. So the impediments to gaining common sense would be pride. I don't think that I need it, or I don't want to look foolish, and laziness. You got to think. Some guys think that they're brilliant, and you know, I've asked guys, like, on what evidence? I don't get it. I mean, it's one thing to be proud, you know. You're LeBron James, you know. You're the best in the world at something. You're feeling proud, but everybody's like, you're proud, and I don't get it. That doesn't make sense. So if you can't see that, you're in trouble. So you got to ask. So that's true. So, and that's true in many different ways. I've told you about, I recognized that I lacked people skills, and I had to pray to God, you got to help me with this. Right? Somebody else. Yep.
I'm not sure if this fits in too well, but personally, I know that I struggle with when I'm given instruction, even in things that have been done before, I can often basically like evaluate it. And, like, what do I kind of like challenge that? So I'm trying to like get rid of that. So I'm just trying to figure out if you deal with that at all, with people maybe have their own way of doing things.
Yeah, sure. And that's called pride, right?
Yeah, but sometimes like it's disguised even in my own mind. Like you say, some people have this pride where they think they've done, you know, they can do everything right their way.
Yeah.
You know? And then so they, and a lot of times we can do things good, you know, figure things out. But you know, there's times when someone really knows what they're talking about, and you got to really do it their way. But there's a struggle there because you think, oh, why don't we do it this way? You know?
Sure.
And that plays out for me in like all kinds of other ways. But I wonder, does that come into the kingdom of God where someone's giving you instruction and you think you have a better way?
Yeah.
It's hard to do someone else's way.
Yep. But again, that's pride. So the answer to pride is repent. First of all, it's repentance. And to humble ourselves, the Bible says, which is, to humble means you lower yourself. So in a way, that is a part of, I receive instruction. even if I think that I know better. So I receive it. Yep, I'll do it that way. No problem. And that is what's helpful. That's part of being a disciple. Yep. Most definitely. Okay.
Is it okay to ask, like, I don't know, even if you know the answer, to ask other people, like, besides your pastor, and, like, you know, if you think they have wisdom, all that kind of stuff, you look up to them, you know, or if someone asks you, should you always, if someone asks you on the street, you know, if you're witnessing or just in the church, should you always refer them to someone else just in case you don't know the answer, or should you...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's probably too broad of a question. So, you can get wisdom... You can get wisdom from any person that has wisdom. So number one is learning who has wisdom, identifying who has wisdom. We have a number of older people in our congregation that they could be a resource to you if you ask. The only qualification is if you're advice shopping, meaning I know what pastor's going to say. Let me see if I can find somebody else. What do you think? You find some carnal, half backslidden person? No, I think that's a terrible. That's exactly what I was thinking. So that's the only time. But yeah, wisdom. You can get wisdom from anywhere. Then you get kind of you. Second part of your question was getting broader. People are asking you. You know, there's no way I can answer that question singularly because there's too many variables, right? You get a new convert, should I come to church? Yeah, obviously, yeah. You should ask somebody else. You know the answer to that. Should I read my Bible? But then there's a married person, what should I do in my marriage? Yeah, you need to talk to somebody else. Good. Anybody else? See? No. Johnny. Yeah.
Navy.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
20 years, right? In Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
A lot of about what we're talking about actually, he refers to like taking orders or following these instructions and asking questions, like higher rank.
Yep.
And he would say, if I would ask why we're on this mission to my higher rank, and they give me an answer such as, don't worry about it, just follow instructions. But you're saying if we ask questions, you explain it. A good leader would explain why we're doing these type of things. But also, Andy was saying that I want to be myself.
Yeah.
I want to take instructions, but I want to be able to think for myself. And in the military, you're supposed to think for yourself, but you learn from your experience as well. And in the battle, that's where that experience comes out, learning and instruction. But that's when you're thinking for yourself. Right now, it's not. We're not like we are at war, but we're not pioneering or something like that. I think. So,
yep.
I don't know.
So now is a crucial time. Then the other thing is that, you know, what I say to guys, I can't understand a man who goes out to pastor for the first time and doesn't keep in contact with me. Because you'll have 1,000 things that you've never experienced before. And if you'll keep in contact, I can help you build a file. Right? I have guys on the field, they don't have to ask me, what should I do when dealing with a fornicator? What should I do about a religious person? Because they've dealt with this. They've built a file. So then they need to only bring to me, this guy is a transgender, cross-dressing, says he wants to be a pastor. What do you think? Well, that's a little different. So, yeah, so you build that wisdom. So, yep, so, but in our, all I can say is that Pastor Mitchell and I, the culture of our church is built, we do not resent asking questions. We do not resent people asking us why or for clarification or asking for wisdom. That's not a bother, that's our joy. Because that's the greatest chance of you succeeding. So that's how we operate. So we, you know, it'd be rare for us to say, because I said so. Right? Very good.